Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Steve, talk to us about what the Lord's laid on your heart, man, about abiding and obedience.
Well, you know, in some recent programs I've talked about, you know, Saul's conversion and when God just encountered him on the road to Damascus. And I just really can't leave where that just awesome encounter. And I've just been in the same in Acts and just digging deeper and digging deeper and just staying on that. And as I was just reading in that, I thought about just kind of like there were significant moments that led up to that. You know, Saul had no idea. That was a pivotal moment for his life. That was a significant moment for the church. But what also just really spoke to me was the fact that that was a significant day for Ananias. Mm. And I read that, and it's just like, and you know, the Bible just says the fact that there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. And I just thought about that because it's just like, I mean, you can kind of just picture the morning. Okay. Mm. Ananias gets up, makes himself a cup of coffee, sits down, has a journal or papyrus or whatever he had, and he has a vision, right?
Mm.
And he hears God call his name. But the thing about it, though, is like he had to go through a season to know the Lord's voice. He had to hear God's voice. Someone had to train him up. Somebody had to witness to Ananias. You know, and it doesn't say in the word, you know, who that was, but God knows who that was.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about it, Ananias was a disciple. He had to be raised up and trained. It's just like Ananias had an abiding relationship. He knew the voice of the Lord, and he responded to it. And the amazing thing is, though, he had no idea at that moment that he had an appointment with Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about that, and it just says, and he just responded. He says, "Yes, Lord." He answered. He knew that God was just calling him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the Bible talks about that conversation back and forth, and he's like, you know, "Lord, do you know who this is?" And God was using Ananias to go witness to Saul.
And isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and that just really blows me away, because it's just like such of the significant moments, because we can think about the awesome things that God used through Paul. And I think about that, it's just like,
Steve, I was thinking about this, and imagine if Ananias did not abide that morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if Ananias did not abide that morning.
Wow.
You know, if you... the times that you get tempted to stay in bed, or it's
right,
like, wait a minute.
Yes.
You know, abiding is not something I have to do, something that I get to do. And he didn't know that in that time of seeking God, God was going to unveil something that would affect the entire church forever.
Yeah. And that was just so powerful to me, because Ananias had no idea.
Mm.
That morning, God was going to use Ananias to reach Paul, to reach the generations. We are still reading about what God did through Paul.
Thank you, Ananias. Thank you for abiding.
Thank you for being hungry for God. Thank you for waking up and saying, "Oh, wow, God, what do you want to say this morning? God, I want to spend time with you." And it's just like,
wow,
how powerful is abiding? And,
very.
You know, and it's just like, that's just the excitement, because we can really miss the dots that connect, that this led to this, that this led to this. And if you go back in Acts 8, I think about, you know, the Bible talks about Philip. And Philip, again, was a man, and an angel of the Lord just said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And I was thinking about that, just soaking on that, and it's just like, that's not exactly across the street. Jerusalem to the Gaza Strip, I mean, Jerusalem's on like the eastern border of Israel, to the west side, over by the ocean, southwest side of Israel. That's a long journey.
Mm-hmm.
But he was willing to go. He knew God's voice. God said, "Okay, go." And what I think is significant is the fact that it says the desert road. Not a paved road, not a covered road, not a road that has, you know, it's shielded from the rain. It's a desert road. It's going to be a difficult, a long, but he was willing to go. But what was Zoe?
So you're saying that Ananias not only spent time with God.
Philip.
Philip.
Yeah.
He heard and he obeyed.
Yes.
Wow.
He was willing to obey the voice of the Lord. Well, what is so exciting is that on his way, he didn't even reach Gaza yet. He was just willing to go. God, have your way in my life. What is your will? Your will be done, not mine, right? So he goes. He comes across this guy reading the word. Mm-hmm. Ends up, the guy's in Isaiah, reading it. And the Holy Spirit unctions him to go stand by his car, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This guy's reading the word.
He had a car?
Well, it says his chariot.
Okay.
And he's standing, and he hears him, and the guy that Philip encountered was reading Isaiah, and he says, you know, who's he speaking about? Mm-hmm. And at that moment, Philip starts just sharing him the word, just sharing him about who Jesus is. And it doesn't say the whole encounter, but basically the man says, I want to be baptized. Why not get baptized here? Mm-hmm. But the encouraging thing was, it says who this man was. He was a eunuch to the Ethiopian people underneath the queen. God used Philip to reach a nation, to reach a people, to reach the Ethiopian people. Philip had no idea.
Yeah.
But that day, he heard the voice of the Lord. He knew what the voice of the Lord was, that still small voice, and he was willing to go. Mm. He abided, he spent time, but he was also willing to obey. And that is just so stirring me, because the devil's going to do everything he can to say, like, you know, it's really not that important what you're doing. You know, you can skip it today. You know, it's okay if you only skip one day. It's okay if you only skip one week. But I also think about just like the when I was soaking on this, God just reminded me about Mordecai Ham. And most people, it's like, even as I say this, people don't know who Mordecai Ham was. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, he was an evangelist that God used in the early 1900s, and he was just sharing message after message after message. And one day he encountered a young man, shared the gospel with him, and this young man said yes to Jesus. But that young man was Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily just about, you know, God, I want to spend time with you just so I can, you know, reach the Pauls or Sauls, but it's just like, what is God going to do? If we're just willing to go and spend time with him, because Mordecai had no idea what was going to happen that day. That morning when he spent time with the Lord, that morning when God gave him a message to share, did he know that he was going to reach Billy Graham, that reached the nations? Mm-hmm. And I even think about that there was a young minister in, I think, like the 1960s or 70s, but he responded to a mother's beckoning call, and he ended up ministering to the bedside of a drug addict who had OD'd, and he was just at his end, hit rock bottom, and ended up that this drug addict gave his life to Jesus. But what this minister did not know at that time is that he was ministering to Steve Hill, an evangelist who was a revivalist, who ended up encountering and changing nations and sharing the gospel. And that's the thing. It's just like, if we're willing to go, if we're willing to spend time and just go after God and say, Lord, your will be done in my life. And I just really began to think, it's just like the most powerful thing that we can do is say yes to the will of God. Mm-hmm. Will we go that desert road? Will we go even when we don't know where it's going to lead to, but we're just willing to go and allow God to use us on the way? Like you were saying in one of the recent programs, it's just like, you know, there was a prophecy about me and I'm going to do all these things. It's just like, no. Just go and just spend time with God and watch what God does on the way.
Wow. That's so amazing, because oftentimes people want to pray, you know, and are waiting for an answer, you know, for their prayer, but they're not looking to be the answer to a prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and you were talking about Ananias and Saul, and you think about, man, this is so amazing. You know, the Lord gives Ananias a vision, you know, and in the middle of this vision, he's just telling them, hey, there's a man who's praying.
Yeah.
There's a man who's praying. And Ananias gives him a word of knowledge. I mean, God gives him a word, you know, straight street. I mean, he told him exactly.
Specifics.
Straight street. This is where you're going to go. Uh-huh. And this is what you're going to do. And you're going to do what you see. What, you know, this like scale's going to come off.
Yeah.
He's blind right now. He's been shut down for 3 days. And God downloads basically to Ananias what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And how beautiful is that, when we have such intimacy with the Lord, that we're actually inquiring of him.
God, what do you see for today?
What do you want? And one of the things that I've noticed in my own encounters with God, Stephen, you probably same thing as we've talked about this before, but you know, when you're thinking about the Lord all the time and you're inquiring of Him and you're asking and you're dialoguing and He's really your best friend, so you know, yes, Lord, He begins to share with you the things that are very closest to His heart, and you know what's close to His heart? People. Mm-hmm. And He'll begin to just share with you and tell you what's going on in their, you know, what's going on with their life, that they're suffering, and He'll give you words of knowledge and insight that you have no idea, and you just say, this is what the Lord showed me. And they're like, oh my goodness, it's exactly it. And because God has compassion, He wants to reach His people, but you know, He doesn't have a plan B, plan A. He wants to do it through me, He wants to do it through you. But what happens if we're not positioning ourselves, if we're not even listening to the voice of God, if we don't have a relationship with God? How can we be the one to reach anybody else?
I think about the many, I've heard someone share it before, that they were just crying out to God and they saw so many of the injustices in their community and the people around them, and they were like, God, do something. God, do something. And they were waiting for God to respond, and then God just said, you do something. And it's just like Jesus did everything on the cross, and He now sends us, and He says, now go and make disciples. Go and tell people. I gave you the message. And the amazing thing is like that, when we're willing to go, you know, the Word says we are His hands and feet. And Jesus says, you know, I only did what I saw the Father do, and I only said what I heard the Father say. And if we would do that, it's limitless what God can do if we allow Him to work through us.
Isn't this exciting?
Yeah.
Listen, God gives us the great privilege to be in intimacy with Him, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to hear His voice. Listen, this is the most wonderful, beautiful adventure we could ever have. Who needs the bungee jump? You know what I'm saying? When you can walk with Jesus and do whatever the Father asks of you to do. We're just talking about, my goodness, man, the power of abiding, the power of being in intimate relationship with the Lord, where you're spending time with Him, hearing His voice. And Steve, you shared some awesome examples of what happened with Ananias and Saul, what happened with Philip and the eunuch, even what happened in the lives of Billy Graham and Steve Hill, because somebody was hearing God, somebody went. And I think about, you know, kids just can't get stuck, you know, I'm just stuck here with what happened with Ananias and Saul, because, I mean, this was a very pivotal moment in Hello Church history. This is one of the greatest apostles that has, you know, ever lived. He wrote most of the New Testament, of course, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We're still, you know, preaching out of this, of the Bible. I mean, amazing. And Ananias was used by God to reach this man. And how he did that was amazing, because God not only allowed Saul to have a vision, but He actually spoke to Ananias in a vision. And hello, God still gives visions today.
Yes, He does.
And what was amazing about this is that in this vision, Ananias is getting, I mean, words of knowledge with pinpoint accuracy. And he's like, God's telling him, Ananias, there's a man. He was blind, you know what I'm saying, 3 days. He is praying.
Gave his address.
He's praying, right? And he had a vision. And in this vision, I'm going to read it to you. This is what he says. In Damascus, this is Acts 9:10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, that's you, come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. I mean, Saul saw this. And then God's telling Ananias in a vision, this is what this man saw. And this is where you're going to go. You're going to go to Straight Street. And I'm sure if he probably pulled out that papyrus, whatever he had, and he started scratching his down. And he went with it, and because he heard, he saw, and he obeyed. You know, you have to look, and then you have to see. You know, look, and then what do you see? What is God showing you? What is revealing to you? What is he speaking to you in his still small voice? Mm. And then we just obey what God has shown us, what God has told us, and amazing things happen. I mean, but God's needing a willing vessel.
Right.
God's willing someone, a Mordecai Ham, who's gonna preach the gospel so that Billy Graham could get saved.
Yeah.
You know, a man like Jim Summers is gonna, you know, have a program out there, and Steve Hill's gonna be part of the program, and he's gonna be working with Jim Summers, and who knows, later on he's gonna be, you know, leading a revival that shook the nation and the world, you know, and it's like, wow, we have to be obedient.
And that has been such an encouraging to me, like, just as I've been soaking on that, it's like we will never really know who it was and how we have reached others for Jesus until mm-hmm. that day that we stand before him, until that day that we stand at the gates and people come rushing to us. You know, we talked about that as far as 90 minutes in heaven. But it's just like, even beyond that, it's just like the fact that we're able to do it with Jesus, the fact that Jesus wants to do it through us. It's such a beautiful encounter that he loves us so much that he wants us to be involved.
Isn't that amazing?
And that's just like, who are you that you're mindful of us? Like, wow, we get to do it with Jesus.
Is that beautiful?
It's awesome.
Is that beautiful? I mean, I just think about it, I'm just like, wow, amazing, amazing. I think about, and you say that we get to do it with Jesus. I think about, you know, the passing of Steve Hill. We've mentioned him in the program times past. A great revivalist, if you've never heard of him before. Was the evangelist that preached night after night at the Brownsville Revival for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Preached to over 4 million folks right there at that revival, and then God's used them to preach all over the nation and the world. Man of God who just passed away, and many people are praying for revival, believing for revival, not mm-hmm. just revival, but just, you know, awakening, outpouring. And God has spoken prophetically that you know, the outpouring of Spirit is coming.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you would think, you know, such a time as this, you know, like, you know, if God ever needed a person, you know, God needs us all. But you would think, like, God, you know, Steve Hill would be a good person to keep around right now, you know.
Yeah, you think, right?
He's only 60 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man was loved you on fire for, you know, used mightily. He would be a good one to keep around. But we don't know the plans of God.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Jones was shown that there'll be a billion souls that are going to be one and come into the kingdom of God. Think about this. 1 billion souls. God told him, and that before he passed away, he would see the beginning of 1 billion souls. Mm-hmm. And Bob just passed away within a month's time. Steve and Bob passed a month's time. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, when the revival happened back in 1995, the Brownsville Revival, Steve's mentor, Leonard Ravenhill, his spiritual father, mm-hmm. who, I mean, wrote a book called Why Revival Tarries, this man, awesome man of God, who just believed God and just was a righteous preacher like Noah. I mean, this, mm-hmm. amazing. And then right before the outpour, right before the Brownsville Revival, one of the longest revivals to hit our nation, mm-hmm. Leonard Ravenhill passes away right before that.
Yeah.
And you think, well, God.
Who?
What?
The timing.
Maybe you would have let Leonard Ravenhill see this. And I was praying one time in the back. And,
I'm sure he did.
Well, this is what I got. This is what I got. You know, I'm out in the yard, and I'm just walking, and I'm just... This is the time that Steve passed away, and I'm just trying to process all of this because, you know, it's just, you know, wow.
Yeah.
A general has just passed away, and I'm just pondering it in my heart, and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you know, right before the outpouring at Brownsville, you know, Leonard Ravenhill passed away, and I know there's an outpouring coming, and here Steve passes away, and it's like, Lord, you know, are you maybe you're saying, I am going to use Steve. I'm going to bring him up here with me. I'm going to bring him up here with me, and we're going to do this thing together. Me, Bob, Leonard, all of us, and he's going to have a front row seat. Mm-hmm. And I just started thinking that Leonard Ravenhill had a front row seat to the whole thing. He knew what was going to happen, you know, right there. He was seeing the whole thing with the great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? We don't know the things of God. We don't know why God does what he does. But hey, Let's say more Lord. Yes. Let's be ones that say, God, hey, you're in complete control.
Do it again,
God. Do it again.
Do it again, Lord. Bring revival.
Bring revival, the outpouring of your spirit. We want to see souls saved. We want to see souls come into the kingdom of God. There is nothing more exciting than seeing souls come into the kingdom of God to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And it's just absolutely amazing. You know, I don't have a direct quote for you, but Rick Joyner said about revival, he says, listen, you know, if it's not revival, we don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. But if it is revival, there is nothing else more important happening than revival at that time.
Right.
So let's get all in. Let your hunger be stirred. Cry out and say, God, we want a move of God. Rend our hearts. Touch us, God. Cause us to repent. Lord, help us to seek your face. Dear God, end abortion and send revival. And we were talking about just the power of abiding, the power of having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And you may be hearing us talk a lot about abiding, and you're wondering, okay, cool, abiding. It's John 15. Abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And so when we're plugged into the vine, when we are in relationship with Jesus, what's flowing through Jesus flows through us. And so it's our way of being intimate and connected with him. And if you want to abide with the Lord and you say, you know, I don't know how, or, you know, I'm so stirred up. I hear about abiding often on VFN TV and VFN, you know, the radio program. I want to abide. I want to do that. Well, listen, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, you know, and get a plan. It's free, doesn't cost you a thing, but, you know, we promise you, you abide with Jesus, he will change your life. And, you know, right now, if you ask a lot of Christians, you know, why do you read the Bible? And they may just tell you, well, that's because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what Christians do. We read the Bible. And let me share something with you. You know, abiding is not something that you got to do. It's something that you get to do. Yeah, it is your pleasure when you wake up in the morning, understanding that the most important conversation you will have that day, the most important meeting that you'll have that day, is your meeting with Jesus. It'll change your life. It'll change your life because you have access to the Lord. You have access. I mean, and he wants to talk with you. He wants to unveil himself to you. But you know what? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. You know, it's the glory of men to search the truths and to search revelation, and God will begin to unfold his manifold wisdom to you, and you're going to be like, amazed. And because, you know, in previous program we talked about men abided and had relationship with the Lord, God spoke to them very specific things that we're enjoying today because they heard God, but they just didn't hear God, Pat.
Right.
Steve, they followed, they did.
They responded. They did something.
They did something with what God said. And today, you know, sad to say many in the church are listening and they're hearing, you know, and they're filled with amazing truth. But, you know, are they responding to the truth that they heard?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after a while, it's like, you know, you need to stop getting those prophetic words because, you know, you're going to be held accountable for those words.
Exactly.
You got is like, you know, when you're young
in
the Lord,
fear and trembling.
Yeah, you're young in the Lord. You're like, yeah, a prophetic word, another prophetic word. It's like, well, hey, you know, are you going to do something?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to work, cooperate with God. And if you missed one of our previous programs and segments, we talked about God's writing a story. And, you know, when you cooperate with God, the story ends well. Mm-hmm. The story ends well.
That's right.
But if you don't cooperate with him, you don't yield yourself to him, then, you know, it doesn't end well. It's really just that simple. But, you know, we're talking about the outpouring and being hungry and anticipating the move of God, you know. And we talked about generals like Steve Hill, Bob Jones, and Leonard Ravenhill, and others like that, and how all these men, those three in particular, just passed away
Recently,
yeah. Before the outpouring, not you know, Steve and Bob, they passed here recently, right. Before the outpouring that got to these, you know, billion souls are coming in. But Leonard Ravenhill passed away before the Brownsville revival that went on for years, and that saw millions of people come to the Lord. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord, millions of people have been infected, over 4.5, I believe, something like that, some number like that.
Right.
Came to
those doors.
3100 West DeSoto Street and in Pensacola, and it was just an amazing time.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I can never get tired of talking about revival and the move of God and the power of God. I mean, night after night after night after night, seeing people weep at the altar, seeing people's lives being changed. The testimonies that you hear in the baptismal pool were just amazing. Mm-hmm. And what people were, the raw testimony of what God did in someone's life is just, you look back and you go, Jesus, you're amazing. I know what you did in my life, but when you look around at others' lives that you know that you walked with and you hear their story and you're like, wow, Jesus did that for you too?
Exactly.
He's amazing. And, yeah. And he did that for you too? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's just I love hearing. It's just like, you know, what is Jesus saying to you? What has he done? And just hear people just giving credit to Jesus and being able to just witness that transformation.
Yes.
There was a day I encountered him, and look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And seeing that absolute 180 transformation in people's lives and how God is just doing miracles in our midst is... it's amazing. It's so encouraging.
Mm-hmm. It is. Powerful. It is. You know, if you're bored, in I don't know, in being a believer, listen,
something's wrong.
You got to find out. You got to, you know, are you abiding? That's, you know, first thing. Do a checkup. You know, check up from the neck up. You know, or check neck up from the neck down to check your heart.
Some.
You know what I'm saying? But find out what's going on, because, you know, the cure for boredom, two things. The cure for boredom in God is you're not abiding. You know, you've lost your first love. You need to have intimacy with the Lord and come back and do. Remember the heights of which you've fallen. You know what I'm saying? You need to go back and say, God, bring me to that place. Bring me to that place. And the other thing is evangelism. I mean, when you see people come to God and you see people give their lives to the Lord and become disciples, they get grounded in truth. They allow a foundation to be established in their life. Man, there is nothing more beautiful and more exciting to see people make Jesus not just Savior, okay, yeah, as if you can separate it, but Savior and Lord, where they take the Word of God and now they begin to implement it in their life and they begin to practice what the Word of God says. And they're lining up their family, they're lining up the decisions that they're making, they're putting themselves, you know, on the timeline of Scripture, if you will, and saying, where do I measure up? You know, let me get things in alignment with God. And when you become his disciple, not a disciple in name, but a disciple in deed, when you become a disciple, it means a follower. You know, today people say, well, I'm just a Christian. Well, what does that mean today?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a Christian. You know, but why don't we say we're a follower of Christ? I'm a follower of Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means I follow him. Mm-hmm. He leads, and I do what he does, and I say what he says, and I follow. I follow. He's leading. And if we can reclaim that again and understand that that's where we want to be. We just want to be a disciple. We want to be a follower. You know, Christian is Christ-like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Christ-like.
Yeah, that's a significant difference, because it's just like a lot of people are quick to just say, hey, I'm a Christian. But most don't know, like you said, what that means. And that's where the difference is, because it's just like Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing is, it's just like if we love him, we're going to want to be with him. And if he says, go do something, we're going to want to do it.
Yeah,
and it's like you're saying before, it's out of that overflow of love, because we're so caught up in him, we would want nothing more than for others to know who he is and go tell others and spend time with him.
to me, is a natural byproduct of love. I've never seen anyone who's about to get married who doesn't want to talk about their wedding day, doesn't want to talk about the person that they're about to, they're in love with. You know, take a bride who's getting married. I mean, her whole life is consumed in that moment. Mm-hmm. They're planning the wedding, planning the dress, planning, you know, the whole thing.
Some grooms.
Some grooms.
Every conversation they're talking about. I was going to say, almost every conversation they have, that when there's a new bride, she's going to start a conversation leading with her left hand, because she's going to show everybody, look at my ring, look at my ring, look at my ring. This is what we're planning. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, okay, she's getting married.
She's getting married.
There's no question. And it's just like, if Jesus has become the Lord of your life, who knows about him?
That's
who are
right.
you telling? And somebody once said to me is that if I forgot how, correct me how it goes, it's just like, but if it has... If Jesus in your life has not affected others' lives, then it hasn't affected your life.
Ooh.
And that is so the truth, because it's just like, if we love him, we're going to want to tell others, because...
We're compelled, for Pete's sake. You talk my ear off about Disney. I mean, you talk my ear off about what you just
the
bought.
The ball game you watched last night.
Yeah, you talk my ear off about, you know, something you bought at the store. And it's like, come on. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm just not an evangelist. I just, you know, it's not my passion. I'm you know, I am into intercession or something. And it's like, what do you mean? You don't have a problem communicating. You don't have no problem communicating with the restaurant you just ate at and what you just, you know, digested.
Yeah.
Right? We need to, it's like.
Okay. What are you talking about? What are you telling? Because you're always telling people, you're telling other people about what's important to you. Whether it's your team, it's your job, it's a vacation, it's, you know, the shoes you just bought or the meal you just had. It's just like. If that's important to you, okay, awesome. But if Jesus is important to you, he would be filling some of those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, that's the joy of the overflow of, you know, walking with God, is that we're just here for a short time. It really is a vapor, and we will spend eternity with him. And, you know, funerals are one of those things that you get a chance to go to, and it's interesting. The amount of people that everyone says, you know, well, at least they're in a better place. You know, my question is like, how do you know? You know, like, if they didn't want God now, and they didn't want to darken the doors of anywhere where the church was gathering and experiencing God now and reading, why would you be so cruel and put them in a place where they didn't want to be?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just being real today and having just a conversation. I mean, am I right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's very true.
And the thing about it is that, listen, we just got to get so real. I'll never forget when I was a chaplain at the LSU Medical Center. It didn't matter, Steve, what these people were going through. I mean, I've seen some of the most horrific accidents. One thing I've learned, that you can plan to go to a lot of places, ball game, movies, dinner, you know, whatever. Most people don't plan to go to the hospital. I mean, that is not a trip that people put in their planner. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, the hospital is always full. And I don't know who I was just talking to about this, but I remember a family that was going on a trip they were in Louisiana. They were going to Mexico for a vacation, and the whole entire family was in an SUV. And they weren't more than 15 minutes on the interstate. 15 minutes.
Wow.
And a car swerved in front of them. I don't even think they hit anybody. And their SUV, because the father jerked the steering wheel so hard, somehow it flipped.
Wow.
And when it flipped, a 14-year-old girl flew out of the window.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know how many feet she flew, but she landed in the middle of, you know, the median, the grass median. Mm-hmm. And she got all banged up. And here the whole family comes into the hospital, and they're all on different floors in this hospital. Oh. The father's on one floor in, you know, in ICU. The mother's in another floor. The children are in the children's section. And they have no idea what's happening. They're completely out of control. You know, they all they know is that their family members are hurt, but they don't know. And can you imagine, you're a parent in the hospital, you know you're in a car wreck, and your child is somewhere in this hospital, and you can't even communicate with the doctor what's going on with my child because you're messed up. And it was such a beautiful thing. God used me in that moment to be able to go on all of these different floors to minister to this family and run messages and talk to them and just be there with them. And God mentions him so powerfully. When they got out of the hospital, they invited me to their home. Wow. And I was able to preach the gospel to them. I had dinner with them at their house. And it's just amazing. You just don't know. You know, tomorrow is written in the fool's calendar. Mm. All you and I have is today. Mm-hmm. And we come back from this break, we're just going to continue just to talk about seizing the moment. You know, life is but a vapor. And if you die today, would you be happy with your life? Would you be happy, you know, with what has happened and transpired? And, you know, what's that going to be like when you see the Lord? Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about, my goodness, wrapping up and just amazing. The power of abiding, the power of hearing God's voice and obeying, and what can happen? What can happen when we just spend time to be with the Lord? And it, man, we just went into revival and great awakening, and we're just so stirred. I mean, we're just desperate men that just want to see a move of God so bad, and we're excited for God and who He is. And
that's right.
We want to encourage others to be excited about the Lord as well. And when you realize that life is truly a vapor, and you notice children that are growing up, and you realize if they're getting older, I guess that means that I'm getting older, right? That's, it's like, is that how that works, you know? And you see the transformation in their life, and you're like, okay, you know, this puppy's about to wrap up here in a minute. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during a lifetime of that opportunity. So we're trying to seize it with everything that we have.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on the radio, live, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.